J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I've used every swear man. I've used every swear man. Across the desert, fair man. In the mountain, air man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit, sucker, dick, wad, fuck, wad, shit, dick, ass, prick, blowjob, cock, drop, bitch, ass, nut job, pen, dick, big prick, suck, dick, ass, shit, ass, back, fag, hag, cum, leg, dirt, bag, dog, fuck, fuck, knob, crock, stink, puss, job. I've used every swear, man. I've used every swear, man. Across the desert, fair, man. In the mountain, air, man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass, wife, ass, clown, bumble, fuck, shit, clown, chicken, chuffle, clisser, fuck, cum, bubble, cum, fuck, dick, face, dip, shit, douchebag, fuck, wet, ass, rag, dick, smack, cock, butt, click, hat, hoochie, mama, finger, head, fuck, tar, dick, head, punk, ass, jack, shit, butt, ranger, dick, lick. I've used every swear, man. I've used every swear, man. Across the desert, fair, man. In the mountain, air, man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used ass blast, ass friend, ass breath, ass white, bean flick, butt munch, candy ass, butt white, chicken chick, cock, holster, cunt, sucker, dick, brain, dick, wad, dick, head, dick, munch, dick, paint, dumb, fuck, fart, knuckle, fuck, a bitch, fuck, head, fuck, face, fudge, packer, jizz, mop, a whole back. I've used every swear, man. I've used every swear, man. Across the desert, fair, man. In the mountain, air, man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. I've used cocksucker, motherfucker, asshole, shit, sucker, dick, wad, fuck, wad, shit, dick, ass, prick, blowjob, cock, drop, bitch, ass, nut job, pen, dick, big prick, suck, dick, ass, shit, ass, back, fag, head, cum, leg, dirt, back, dog, fuck, fuck, knob, crock, stink, puss, jump. I've used every swear, man. I've used every swear, man. Across the desert, fair, man. In my underwear, man. Cussing like I got no cares, man. I've used every swear. Oh, I've used every swear.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Hi kids, it's the 8th of July, 2021. You got the J.C. Corcoran Podcast here at jcontheline.com. I was a party animal last night. Let me just tell you, I ended up at Billy G's in Kirkwood last night, and it was a blast because, you know, people were talking and just sort of carrying on and stuff like that. But in the corner of their eye, most people had, you know, just one eye on the hockey game last night. That's right, they're still playing hockey on the 7th of July yesterday. But, you know, Pat Maroon from Oakville, from beautiful downtown Oakville, you know, first NHL player since 1964 to win three consecutive Stanley Cups in the NHL with different teams. It's unbelievable. I mean, think about that. 1964. That's the days of Stan Mikita, Glenn Hall, and Pierre Palat and things like that. So good morning from Maryland Heights as a slightly toasted J.C. Corcoran comes to you. Yesterday morning, I spent about an hour on the phone with a reporter from the Chicago Sun-Times. Now, why would an investigative reporter from Chicago, major newspaper, be talking to me for an hour? Well, because he's been a long-time columnist for the paper exposing abuses in the Catholic Archdiocesan school system. And it turns out that one of the priests that used to come into my third grade class every Friday, and we would try to stump Father Leonard, he apparently got carried off at some point. And then another guy in high school, now I didn't have priests in high school, I had Christian brothers. I'm not really sure that there was a huge difference. They still walked around in these long black smocks with a little priestly looking white collar and all that sort of stuff. And a lot of these guys had major anger issues. And it turns out at least a couple of them had more issues than that. And one in particular, a one brother Lasik, L-A-S-I-K, was charged and subsequently convicted on child abuse charges. He was boinking little boys. Now, he never got me, at least not in that regard. But this is how weird the internet is. Here's how this reporter found me. He just Googled brother Ronald Lasik and my name came up. Because in my book, in my first book, I guess it was, and then on some internet stuff on Facebook, my name came up because here's the story. When I was a senior in high school, so I'm like 16 going on 17, I guess, 17. I was always around after school because I was doing stuff. I would make these inspirational posters because I was the chairman of the St. Lawrence High School poster committee. I know. Please, everybody be seated. And I, you know, up until then, the poster committee consisted of some guy who would take a take a magic marker on a piece of paper and hang up a sign that said "Go Vikings." And so what we did is we started making all these little clever comments, belittling our upcoming opponent and all these play on words, all these puns and everything and cartoons. And, all, and we would stick this stuff all over the school, these giant posters. And people liked it. The guys liked it. And I guess the school liked it, too, because they continued to let us do it. So this one brother, Lasik, was also in charge of the prom. So, you know, that's what you want to do is take like a 45-year-old celibate guy and put him in charge of the prom. But anyhow, I digress. So it's one day and it's after school and I'm making all these posters and a couple, there's not many guys around. There's a couple of guys around and we're sort of complaining about the prom because he was doing stuff we didn't want. And we didn't feel like he was even paying any attention to us. He'd say, we're going to do this and this. And we don't want to do that. And this one brother Lasik overhears this conversation. Now, this is after school, and he overhears this from around a corner or something like that and comes to me and says, come on with me. And I'm like, okay. So I start walking with him. He takes me around a corner and starts beating the living shit out of me. And I'm telling you, he's not slapping me, folks. He's punching me with a closed fist. This guy is probably 6'3", 225, and he is pounding the living crap out of me. And, you know, when it's happening to you and you're 17 years old, you can hardly believe what's going on. You cannot even believe your eyes. And plus now there's pain involved and you're just thinking this can't be happening. How can this guy do this to me? And I'll only tell you that a couple of the jocks, and I'm talking about guys who otherwise, I'm not even sure ever spoke to me my entire 4 years in that school. But on that particular day, a couple of those jocks came up to me and said, you know, if that was me, I would have swung back at him. And that doesn't occur to you when you're 17 years old and you're in an old boys Catholic high school and a brother, a Christian brother, is beating the shit out of you and you don't, you just don't think that way. It doesn't occur to you, you know, this guy's hurting me. He's trying to injure me. This is not anything about punishment or anything like that. He's trying to injure me. I'm sure that I had a concussion after that because 2 or 3 days afterwards I was still woozy, but I didn't, you know, it was what year is this? This would have been 1971, and you just didn't think that way back in 1971, especially when you're 17 years old. So anyhow, this guy, this brother Lasik, you know, they caught him buggering. He got convicted on sex / child abuse issues. You know, we have laws in this country against stuff like that. And they, you know, like the Catholic Church does with priests, they just kept moving them around. They kept moving around all over the place. And I guess they would move him and he would do it again. And then they'd move him and he'd do it again. And they would just cover it up and just keep doing it. So eventually, I think the guy said it was Newfoundland or something. They sent him from Chicago to Newfoundland. So clearly they're trying to, you know, destroy this guy's paper trail. But I guess up there, they finally got him and convicted him. I guess some of the laws are different and he spent like the last 10 years of his life in jail. What an environment for learning in high school. So anyhow, this guy interviewed me for like an hour yesterday and even asked for a picture. And so that may be running in the Chicago paper on this weekend, as early as this weekend. So I'll let you know if that's going to be out there. We'll get some screenshots. I still remember Brother Lasik was the golf coach. And at the end of every year, he would have something called the Lassic Classic. Get it? Which we renamed the Zipper Open. Good morning, everybody. I don't know. Maybe he overheard that, too. And maybe that didn't help. I don't know. What else we do yesterday? Oh, lunch at Seamus's in Dogtown. That was really, really good. The hell of a club sandwich, I'll tell you that. And I'm going to plug this already because it's going to come up at the end of today's podcast. This is an interview that Mark Close and I did, and I'm not going to tell you who it's with yet. You just have to listen. It was an interview that Mark and I did in New York at the Grammys back in 1998. And we recorded the interview as we do so often. You know, you record something and then maybe you cut it up a little bit and, you know, edit some stuff out and then put it on the air. But what this guy did in this interview was unairable. But this is a podcast. There ain't no FCC. And so I can do whatever the fuck I want, which is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to play this interview again. This is an interview that Mark Close and I did in 1998 that has never been heard before. But I'm going to play it for you to wrap up today's podcast here at jcontheline.com. If you are a fan of the local TV news and you watch Fox 2, then for the last couple of years, you've been watching two very talented reporters, one Catherine Hessel, and she just looks like she's a member of ABBA or something. This is a very tall, very, very blonde, very handsome reporter that has been on Fox 2 for the last couple of years. And then another one named Katie Corman, and she's handled a lot more of the serious news stories and maybe was a little more experienced and stuff like that. Also a very, very good-looking gal. And both of these gals were having dinner, an early dinner last night at Billy G's in Kirkwood. And so when they were leaving, I pulled them over, and I had met Catherine before. At a press club thing a couple of years ago. She was wearing a red dress and she was up on some heels. And I'm telling you, she walked into that building and the fish in the aquarium stopped swimming. She looked, I think the word might be statuesque. And then Katie's more, a little more, more what? I don't know. What's the word I'm thinking of? She just looks like a normal gal. Very, very good-looking gal, solid reporter, whatever. And what has been happening, especially at Fox 2, with the departure of their long-time general manager, Spencer Koch, people are leaving the television station left and right. And in fact, both of them resigned their positions to take PR jobs here in the city of St. Louis. Now, this has been going on for years. This happens a lot where somebody is on television. It is their job to be a professional journalist and, you know, ask difficult questions of city leaders, whatever the case may be. That's their job as a reporter. But then after a period of time, it's sort of like, this blows. I hate this job. And they find out about a PR job. And now they're on the other side of things. Now their job is to keep us from knowing the things that we're supposed to know. And instead, now they bring in a younger reporter. They put that person on the air. And now that person is attempting to get information from the person who just worked in the television newsroom for the last 5 years. And they've switched roles. And if you say to yourself, there's something wrong with that setup, it's like, well, you'd be right, of course. But that's what they all do. They all do that because, you know, the whole idea of working in electronic media has lost its luster in recent years. It's difficult to make money. It's long hours. There's no job security. And so people work in television news for a couple of years and say, well, this is not what I was hoping it would be. And so somebody comes along and says, hey, we need a public relations person for St. Louis Lambert International Airport or for Ameren or for Laclede Gas or for any city organization. We have 90 police departments all over St. Louis County. And each one of those municipalities has their own public relations person. So it doesn't seem like there's a shortage of jobs. And so a lot of these people just sort of morph their way from local television news into PR jobs and now try to keep information from getting to us because that's what a good PR person does. Think Kellyanne Conway. There's a new documentary called Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage. And it explores what a disaster that festival turned out to be with fires, riots. The heat was just scorching, overflowing porta potties, sexual assaults, $4 bottles of water, And anyhow, the new documentary on this chaos is called Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage, and it hits HBO Max on July 23rd, 22 years after the festival's opening day. It looks like it really captures the pure insanity of the entire situation. As one attendee says in footage from the concert, quote, "There's a lot of stupid humans around here." After a delay because of COVID, the Yankees and the White Sox are going to finally play on the Field of Dreams field in Dyersville, Iowa on August 12th. Cardinals were originally involved in that. Jada Pinkett Smith says she straightened up after passing out on the set of The Nutty Professor due to a bad batch of ecstasy. Explains a lot, doesn't it? Especially when you start thinking about how whacked out people are in the entertainment world and in Hollywood and making movies and making decisions. You ever go to a movie and go, "I don't understand what the hell I just saw. This is a piece of crap up there on the screen." Well, when you're on ecstasy, maybe it seems funny at the time. Birthdays today from the great movie, Almost Famous, Russell Hammond, Billy Crudup, actor, 53 today, Toby Keith, American Redneck, 60, Kevin Bacon, from Footloose and A Few Good Men and, you know, and Six Degrees of Everything, 63 today. Angelica Houston, who had a long, torrid romance with Jack Nicholson back in the day, is 70 today. The great Jeffrey Tambor, and, you know, I don't know what to think about that because he has always been one of my favorite character actors, but then, you know, there was some sort of scandal he was involved in involving child porn or... what was it? Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was just some sort of, you know, inappropriate sexual stuff. That's all I can remember. You know, and one of the greatest characters ever in the history of television, Hank Kingsley, hey now, on The Larry Sanders Show. And of course, a lot of people know him from Arrested Development, 77 today. We have the ice cream cone to claim here in St. Louis, but in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, they invented the ice cream sundae on this date back in 1881, 140 years ago. A customer asked the guy at the ice cream shop to top a dish of ice cream with chocolate sauce, the sauce previously only used for flavored sodas, which were illegal to serve on Sunday. You couldn't have a flavored soda on Sunday 140 years ago. So this guy, what's his name? Edward Berner, sold his ice cream concoction on the Sabbath and called it a Sunday, and that's where that whole thing came from. And speaking of names and how things got their names, you know, you hear about various boardwalks. When we were in Houston, there was the Kima Boardwalk. There's the famous boardwalk on the Jersey Shore. They have them in Tampa. They have them in Baltimore. So there's a lot of boardwalks. Boardwalks didn't get their name because they're wooden boards that you walk on. They're named after the guy who came up with the idea to set up the first one in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in the 1870s. His name was Alexander Boardman. So the name boardwalk came in, and it has nothing to do with the materials used for the thing you're walking on. And now you know. I decided a long time ago, when I was just a kid in college, that I wasn't ever going to gamble. And in fact, to this day, I don't even do NCAA tournament brackets in March. A new gambling survey asked people if they enjoy it. Only 16% of Americans say they really do. That's one in six people. The survey also asked gamblers to name the most important aspect of placing a bet, and the top answer was having fun with it. Knowing the odds is only the second most important thing we consider. Having a hunch or a feeling about it is a close third. I'm guilty of this. I will get in the car and drive 10 miles to get cheap gas at Costco. And then you start thinking to yourself, is this a wash? Did I just save money on Costco gas, but did I burn it up by having to drive 10 miles to go to Costco? A new poll found most of us opt for convenience, but it's close. One in six people either said it depends or they don't have a car. That's right. That's right. We always assume that everybody has a car. I know a lot of people come to think of it that don't have a car, but I don't know how you live your life without a car. You got to have great friends or family or something like that, because what if you have to go somewhere? Anyhow, 46% of people said they go to the closest gas station. People in the western half of the country are more likely to hunt for cheaper gas, probably because gas prices are higher. out west. This is like $6 a gallon in Los Angeles right now. People in the South and the Midwest are the most likely to hit the first gas station they can find. Is there such a thing as an accidental kidnapping, and can you get in trouble for it? It's not clear. I don't know where this happened, but a security camera has it, and I was looking at it today. A woman got distracted while she was at a grocery store with her toddler and almost left with somebody else's kid. Now, let's just slow down here for a minute. I think we've all done this where you're in a grocery store or a Costco or something like that, and you're walking around, you go, oh, and you walk down the aisle, and then you come back, and you accidentally grab somebody else's cart. I've done that a million times, but not with a human being in the cart. This woman thought she was holding her own daughter, who was dressed up in a pink coat and hat, but then another mom ran up, and it turned out it was her daughter. The girls were around the same age and were wearing identical coats and hats. Both moms just laughed it off, so nobody got in any trouble or anything, but the woman was pretty shocked when she realized the kid she was holding was not hers. We just went to the wedding of Skip Weber's daughter, Skip from Weber Chevrolet. The wedding was in the state of Georgia, and we went from Florida up to Georgia to that wedding. I'm in St. Louis right now. But anyhow, somebody polled people who have been married and asked if we should keep doing these traditional wedding things. And here's what they said. The bride's family should pay for it? Well, that's the top tradition for people wanting it to stop. 43% said they should ditch that idea. Only 25% said keep it. Not seeing each other until the ceremony. 28% think it's dumb now. Should the bride always wear white? 24%, a full, you know, quarter of the people polled said that's outdated. Exchanging rings. Only 5% said that we should ditch that one. The bride's father giving her away. 14% say cut that. The bride and groom's first dance. Most people still like that one. Only 6% said no. Tossing the bouquet. 11% are sick of that. The garter toss. 26% don't want it anymore. People throwing rice or bird seed. 31% of the people say that should stop. By the way, I went to a wedding once and the bride was 6 months pregnant. After the ceremony, we all threw puffed rice. Good morning, everybody. Oh, and by the way, 50% of the people polled in this thing don't want to hear that line in there about the woman having to obey her husband. And if you're about to commit a crime, one that might lead to a lengthy police chase, it might be a good idea to have a solid meal beforehand. A 38-year-old woman named Johanna Gardell of Worcester, Massachusetts, allegedly stole a truck on Tuesday morning. The police caught up with her, but she wouldn't pull over, so the chase was on. Johanna started blowing through red lights and driving on the wrong side of the road into oncoming traffic. She crashed into several vehicles but was still able to get away. The police called off their pursuit for safety reasons, and at that point, Johanna got hankering for some McDonald's. It was about 8:45 in the morning, so apparently she wanted breakfast, so she hit up the drive-thru. The police weren't actively chasing her, but they did track her down in the drive-thru lane where she tried to get away again, but she ended up crashing into a pile of mulch on the McDonald's property. I knew there was something in those burgers that tasted funny. Anyhow, she was arrested and is facing a dozen charges, do you think, including failure to stop for police, leaving the scene of an accident with a personal injury, assault and battery by means of a dangerous weapon, malicious mischief to a motor vehicle, disturbing the peace, disorderly conduct, and mulch mushing. All right, time for the JC Celebrity A-List Interview of the Day. Got to take you back to 1998. Mark Close and I are in New York at the Grammys. And what we would do, and we did the people will remember this, we would go out there and broadcast for like a week out in either California or New York, wherever they were holding the Grammys. And we would sign up with this agency, and then they would bring guest people in for interviews. A lot of music people. I mean, we had almost the entire band Fleetwood Mac on. We had Super Dave Osborne. We had tons of Alice Cooper, I remember, came by. And we would put those interviews on the air and somehow work that into the idea that the Grammys were coming up that week. And, you know, and everybody went away happy. Now, sometimes you had to pre-record an interview because somebody wasn't available at the time that we were actually on the air doing the show. So you'd record something and then you'd play it back at the appropriate time. in this particular case, we recorded this interview with comedian Gilbert Gottfried, and for reasons that will seem probably pretty obvious here in a couple of seconds, we were never able to put this on the air. But now, because there's no government regulation, there's no FCC, there's none of that nonsense, here on the internet, on the J.C. Corcoran podcast, we can pretty much say or do anything. And if you're saying to yourself, who's Gilbert Gottfried?
Well, he's a stand-up comedian who also yells everything.
And he's done voices for Disney movies. He's part of the Comedy Central roasts. He was actually the guy that yelled, Affleck! But then he got his tit caught in a ringer on something involving, I don't know, sexual inappropriate stuff, too. I just think by the time this is over, everybody will have been charged with that, including Tom Hanks. Everybody in Hollywood will eventually go. Oh, and by the way, Gilbert, despite his diminutive presence and bad teeth and the fact that he squints and screams all the time, also fires on every woman he sees. And I even remembered that a couple of years prior to that, at one of the Grammy broadcasts, we had Gilbert on that show too, and he was firing on this chick from Houston, and she didn't want any part of it. Anyhow, as I said, as you hear this, remember, this has never seen the light of day, but I pulled it out of the archives for you today as the JC Celebrity A-List interview of the day. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried.
And it is the man, Gilbert Gottfried. I got my hand on the volume control.
Absolutely.
Because I know when you bring Gilbert.
I'm the man. I'm the man.
He starts screaming.
I'm the man.
How you been?
I'm the man.
Yes. You make it here for every Grammy Award show. I think this is like the fourth or fifth time that we've had you
and
on.
And they've snubbed me each time.
Yeah. Haven't won yet, have you?
Yes.
Have you ever submitted anything? Did you ever record anything that got submitted for consideration?
Yes. Yes, I done my Jew of Country Music album. They keep turning that one down.
Well, they don't really turn it down,
yes.
Gilbert. It's just that they don't vote for it.
I don't think they have a category for that, do they?
It's amazing. You think after all these years, they
make
would.
A category.
They
even if it was one entry, just yours.
One. Just one, for God's sakes.
So now tell me, how will your life be affected by the fact that Jerry Seinfeld is calling it quits this May? Because that's actually part of your repertoire. People who don't know you know that Jerry actually works into your act.
Yeah, I know. This is very upsetting. First of all, he has to give up, how's this guy going to make a living? How is this guy going to do it? It's bad enough they expected him to live on $5 million an episode, but now without it,
he's got
no money.
What's happening to comedy? What's happening to comedy? $5 million? That's not what it's all about. That's not what it's supposed to be about. Joe Piscopo going out there and, bulking himself up so that, and there's a name from the current comedy scene.
Oh, yeah.
Comedy is spinning out of control.
Yes, it's Joe Piscopo.
Yes. Monetarily.
Joe Piscopo is a whole other show.
Yeah. He'll be coming in about 5 minutes after you, actually.
Yes.
So
the money is out of control. The man's bodies are out of control. Anyhow, Jerry Seinfeld. We're no longer talking to Gilbert. We're now talking to Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry, how could you turn down $10 million an episode?
Well, it gets very expensive to pick up girls in their schoolyards. You'd be surprised.
Never
to
mind.
Get them the coloring books, that costs a lot more than $5
million. How long have you been doing USA Up All Night now? How many years is it?
I just stopped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, you've hit rock bottom when the USA Network doesn't watch anymore. that's bottom of the barrel.
They got rid of the whole show or just you?
I think they're clearing out USA. Yes.
Is it going out of business
sale?
Yes,
yes.
Everything must go.
Maybe they'll have Murder, She Wrote 12 times a day still, but...
Maybe you could get yourself on the Lifetime channel or something like that. Yeah. That appeals to women.
My fingers are crossed.
You're kind of a chick magnet. You could get on the Lifetime.
I'm a chick magnet.
Yeah. Home Shopping Network, one of those you could slide into again.
Yeah, I could slide in.
Yes.
I could slide into, because I'm a chick magnet. I could just slide in.
Now, let me ask you. The original Aladdin movie, you supplied the voice of
The princess.
Of the
Yeah,
but it never made
thing.
It. They cut that too.
They thought too Jewish.
You supplied the voice of the little parrot, the little guy. What's his name?
Iago.
Iago. Okay. Yeah. Now, in the subsequent releases, they have cartoons and all that kind of stuff. Is that still you doing
the
voice?
Still me.
Or so that is the
still me.
Because a lot of the original people who were in the original Aladdin didn't come back, and they have a guy who sounds like Robin Williams, but it's not him.
Yeah, yeah.
But you got the gig.
Yes.
And
now the voice of the princess, I think, is Frank Gorshin. Yeah.
Which is even more obscure reference than Joe Piscopo.
We're hitting all of them today, folks.
What else are you doing
and
these
David
days?
David Fry is Aladdin. And Fred Travellina is the monkey.
Yes. Remember that show, The Copycats?
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
They took all of the impressionists and comedians at that time. This was maybe, 69 or 70?
Yes.
And they said, wow, if people love impressionists, well, what if we put a whole hour of them together?
Yeah.
And it was the dullest thing.
Yes, and they had George Kirby was one of them.
George Kirby, who, I'm trying to remember the stuff he did.
Okay, well, he was black, so he did all, the black women impressions. He would do dress him up as Ella Fitzgerald and Pearl Bailey.
And now, here's LaWanda Page.
Yes, exactly. And I think, now, was it Marilyn Michaels?
Yeah. Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Barbara Streisand was one of the big ones.
Cross her eyes. And
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, for anybody over the age of 30 or 35.
Yeah, they have no, what the hell we're talking about.
The Copycats was a show that was on, and for some reason it just did. So what else are you up to
these
days?
And I think it was made in England.
Made?
I have a feeling the show actually was done in England, because when every now and then they'd use an extra or something in a sketch.
And it would be Benny Hill.
Yeah, yes. Or that bald-headed old guy.
Who used to pimp for Benny Hill.
Benny Hill.
Yes, who would run up and down with at the end.
We're having a mouth of war here.
Yes, that's a whole other story.
What else are you up to these days? All right, so now the USA, you didn't actually have to stay up all night to do USA Up All Night. Probably did that at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, as any woman can tell you, I can't stay up all night. It's just I can't stay up for more than 5 minutes.
Were you around, you must have been around doing that show with Rhonda Shearer when she was boinking and Larry King. What was that all about?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I can't say I blame her, because, boy, when you look at Larry King, that is hot.
He is the man.
Yeah.
It just exudes.
Yeah, you just picture Larry King during sex.
Naked, no suspenders.
Yeah.
Is the vagina there?
Yeah. hello, Cleveland. You're on, Detroit.
You heard a guy's leaving their socks on. He left his suspenders on.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all a fact. What else are you up to these days?
Nothing. My career's through. Hopefully, I can do some extra work on Diagnosis Murder or something.
But at least once a year, you get the Grammy gig here. So at least something to look forward to.
Yeah. And people still want to hear from you, so you keep showing up. So why not?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Did you ever nail that girl from Houston a couple of years ago? Remember you were trying to pick up the girl? It was the afternoon girl from Houston.
Oh, yes. I nailed her. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
about. Anally.
She's the one with the kind of strawberry blonde hair.
Yes. Yeah, I nailed her anally.
Okay, kids, at this point, you might want to turn the radio off.
Kids driving to school with mom.
Oh, God. Those letters go to Gilbert Gottfried, wherever the hell he's living, in some trailer park somewhere. Just send them right to Gilbert direct.
All right, Gilbert. So will you be in the crowd at the Grammys tomorrow night?
Yes.
You will?
Yes, I'll be in the crowd. I'm going to be there as a speechwriter for Fiona Apple.
Yes.
Fiona Apple. Yes. She needs some help.
Yes.
She needs a lot of help.
Gilbert, I don't. By the way, this Heidi Klum? She's going to be here.
Oh, I'd like to nail her anally.
You have so many different choices.
Boy, I like to nail her.
Forget the basic cable thing, man. USA, that's all gone, man. We might get you on Cinemax, but that's all you're going to get at this point.
I slid the copy of Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in front of Gilbert. That woman is going to be here.
Would I like to nail her anally.
maybe you'd like to kind of hang around and see how that line works in person.
I think she'd be turned on by it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well,
there's no doubt.
You just never know those supermodels.
Yeah.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Go away now.
Yeah, leave immediately.
Thank you very much for coming by. Great to see you again.
Okay.
That's Gilbert Gottfried.
And until next week, I nailed her anally.
Thank you. Look for he'll be doing a special with Marie Osmond. You can watch for it in your TV guide.
I told you. All right, that's it. That puts a lid on the JC on the line, JC Corcoran Podcast for the 8th of July, 2021 here at jcontheline.com. Please continue to help us out and spread the word. Tell everybody you know that we are here every weekday morning at 7 o'clock at jcontheline.com. Enjoy the rest of your day. Talk to you in the morning. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.